morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now, here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing? Gentlemen, earlier in the week, we were studying a little bit from the story of Sheba and Solomon. We find that story in 1 Kings chapter 10, brief introduction in chapter 9. It'll go on in chapters 11 and 16 to have reflections back to that. Beginning at about verse 15 or so in chapter 9, we say, here's the account of the forced labor under King Solomon. The forced labor, right. What comes to mind when you think about forced labor?
Slavery.
Slaves.
Oppression.
Oppression. Okay. So then we looked at Queen Sheba's visit to King Solomon. What are some of your recollections, some reflections from that study? So we can set that as a context for today's focus.
She came from a region of a lot of trade, and the whole meeting, I think, a lot of it was strategic for business, set up alliances, stuff like that. But even she seen that he was not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, she does say that she's very impressed. I heard all kinds of rumors. People were talking about what you're doing up here, Solomon. And I love what you've done with the place. But it's better than what I heard. It's that kind of thing. And yes, there is kind of this strategic alliance taking place. We looked at a little bit in chapter 9 where it says, that he develops like Megiddo. Hazer, Gezer, these three major cities, which we come to find out are really his military bases, right? And he's building these military bases and taking in chariots and horses, which we could think of like tanks and fighter jets, and his military bases to protect his imports and his exports for his businesses. This is King Solomon. She recognized that. She wants to get on board with her country. And, let's do business. But she does say, what you're making reference to later when she's talking about how happy are all your wives and how happy is all your land and all that stuff. And because the Lord, because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king to execute justice and righteousness. He has made you king. God loves Israel. And because that, he has made you king to execute justice and righteousness. Now, when we looked at the whole story, do we see Solomon executing justice and righteousness?
No.
Right, how so?
He oppresses his own people into forced labor, which is what he forgets where he came from. He forgets where the Israelites came from, what they came out of, what they had to struggle through when he becomes the new Pharaoh.
Yeah, he's kind of become a new Pharaoh. He is fulfilling exactly what Moses said not to do in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Remember that? Do not take many wives. Solomon take many wives? Yeah. All right. What about do not take chariots and horses?
Do not build
chariots and horses, an army. Do not enforce labor, slavery. He does that. At the end of Deuteronomy there in 17, it says, do not go back to that way. And the way that Moses is speaking, God speaking through Moses is referring to, is the way of the Pharaoh, the way of Egypt, from which I brought you out from. Do not return to that. And it seems to us, and when we look at Solomon, he looks like the new Pharaoh. He has taken on many wives. He has enslaved his people to build his armies, to build his... Now, when it came to building the temple, he used other types of slavery, but as far as his military, and he accumulates several chariots and war horses, and so he's built a military machine, which really means what?
Fearful of people taking his stuff.
Yeah. So he's amassed quite a bit of wealth, and his military bases, his chariots, his war horses are the cost of empire. And he has chosen empire for faithful obedience to his God. And if you were to continue to read in 1 Kings chapter 11, they start speaking about Jerusalem's going to fall. You jump over to 16 and it gets hit a little louder. But what we saw, what did we call all of this? They've gone from Egypt and their exodus and having been liberated through Moses in the journey in the desert. They come across this mountain we call Sinai, right? And you have the introduction of the covenantal community relationship between God and human beings. It has this context of marriage. The divine has married human. And out of that covenant, it's like God saying, we're married, so you can't have any other gods but me. Right? That type of thing. Solomon has kind of really committed spiritual adultery, which leads to a state of what we identified as
Exile.
And so when we looked at exile, we said that there, you know, exile is more than a location. It's a state of the soul. What else about exile?
We forget our story.
I mean, obviously, Solomon must have forgotten what Moses said not to do. He must have forgotten who he's married to. He must have forgotten what God has done. He's forgotten his story. Exile also has to do with failing to take your blessings to bless others. He has taken the blessings God has given to him and blessed himself. Which then says that exile means that we are a stranger to God's purpose. If we forget our story, we lose the state of our soul, and we're not blessing others, we have lost our purpose for God. Well, then right on the heels of the fall of Jerusalem comes a nice little farming peasant prophet. His name is Amos. And Amos is going to speak a lot about this is why do you end up in exile? What do you need to do to get out of exile? These type of things. So let's today's focus, let's look at the prophet Amos real quickly if we can. Could I have somebody read from Amos chapter 3 verses 9 through, what'd I say?
15. Proclaim to the fortresses of Ashdod and to the fortresses of Egypt. Assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria. See the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, who store up in their fortresses what they have plundered and looted. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. An enemy will overrun your land, pull down your strongholds, and plunder your fortresses. This is what the Lord says. As a shepherd rescues from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria he rescued. Only the head of a bed and a piece of fabric from a couch. Hear this and testify against the descendants of Jacob, declares the Lord God Almighty. On the day I punish Israel for her sins, I will destroy the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house, and the houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed, and the mansions will be demolished, declares the Lord.
Okay. Now, I know sometimes when we read the prophets, we don't really have a historical context enough to really understand. They kind of speak in this really foreign language. Right? A lot of that's because we, you know, dates and times and places and things like that don't make a whole lot of sense to us. But that aside, what do you hear? What jumps to mind? I mean, what is God speaking through Amos?
You're gonna fall.
Going down.
All your riches and all your...
You're going down.
All your possessions mean nothing. You're going to lose it all anyway.
All right, so when he talks about like ivory towers and things like that, what do you think of?
Rich
money.
These monuments being built for this...
Okay, and so if there's these ivory towers, these monuments, these mansions, you know, the rich you're talking about, in light of what? How did they get there?
On the backs of the oppressed.
Right?
Okay, all right. So he's being, you know, those of you who have stockpiled your surplus, rather than taking care of the needy, you're going down.
Time to go.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Solomon had been doing, amassing his own wealth on the backs of his people. And God says, look at Solomon, it doesn't make any sense. You were slaves. The story is this. You were slaves in Egypt. I heard your cry from your oppression, and I liberated you from oppression. I set the slave free. Now you're going to use slaves to build me a house called the temple by the very people I liberated as slaves. The people I set free are now slaves to build me, the liberating God, a house to live in? No. Ivory tower coming down. All right. Well, let's see. I had somebody, it was you, Brent, read a little bit from Isaiah.
Isaiah 1:13-15. Sacrifices are worthless and your incense disgusting. I can't stand the evil you do on your new moon festivals or on your Sabbaths and other times of worship. I hate your new moon festivals and all others as well. They are a heavy burden. I am tired of carrying. No matter how much you pray, I won't listen. You are too violent.
Too violent. All right. What do you hear, Isaiah?
Seems like God wants obviously something better, but he's tired of their putrid prayers. And
okay, well, when we think about prayers, and you mentioned something like festivals, you know, various forms of festivals, what are we really talking about here?
Right. You know, worship.
Okay, worship also, your assemblies. I mean, some translations, your evil assemblies. You know, within Christianity, I mean, we have Easter. You know, that's an annual event. Right? We have Christmas. We have Sunday morning. You know, we have certain assemblies that kind of have a yearly festival. Easter comes once a year, Christmas comes once a year, these type of things. Well, same thing within Judaism at the time. You know, the, Israel would have been practicing harvest festivals and Pentecost festivals and the Sabbath and all that. These are these yearly events. And he says, you know, they make me sick. And when you gather like that, it's an evil assembly. Why?
Because their hearts are hard and they're evil, and what they're celebrating and worshiping is totally opposite of what they're living.
All right, read real quickly, like verse 14, 15.
I hate your new moon festivals and all others as well. They are a heavy burden I am tired of carrying. No matter how much you pray, I won't listen. You are too violent.
Too violent. Yeah, other translations talk about your hands are full of blood. Which means those military bases, those chariots and war horses that Solomon had established, God sees as unacceptable costs of empire. They're unacceptable. And all you're doing in your gathering is supporting one another to advance indifference and, in a sense, oppression. You're patting each other on the back saying it's okay to overindulge.
So God's saying, don't gather in my name when you've been out there.
If I'm a God of liberation, if I liberate the oppressed, why are you oppressing and then think you're worshiping me? You can't do that. Ivory tower coming down. If we were to go back to Amos and we get like in chapter 4, you know, he's going to talk about the cows of Bashan. Right now, at that time, the Bashan was known to have a lot of well-fed cows. And he's basically saying, you know, you're pretty well-fed at the expense of those who are in need. Some of you are eating pretty well in your house while there are people outside who are going hungry. That is not the type of community that we got married for. Right? If God's talking about covenant and marriage between the divine and the human, that's not what the relationship is supposed to look like. So then Amos would go on, and in chapter 5 he says, so let justice roll down like a mighty river. Well, why would Amos say let justice roll like a mighty river if Solomon was practicing the justice and righteousness that Sheba said he's supposed to be doing? Because he wasn't. He wasn't doing it. So Amos says, guess what's going to happen? Justice is coming, and it's going to roll like a rushing river. All right, it's going to sweep you away. But by the time he gets to chapter 6, God says, among the first to go into exile is going to be those of you in the ivory towers. And then by the time we get to chapter 7 in Amos, I think, was it you, Russ? Could you read that little pericope from chapter 7 of Amos real quickly? Yeah, 12 through 17.
Then Amaziah said to Amos, get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people in Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in this city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land.
Jeez, Pete. I mean, what happens when you're not faithful to your marriage to God?
You lose your stuff.
You lose your junk. Right. I mean, if you're living in the ivory castle or the ivory tower, you know, and some little farmer comes up and says, you know, stop doing that. Obviously, hey, go away from me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Stop doing what you're doing, right? Because I kind of like the way things are going right now. I'm feeling pretty happy, pretty prosperous. And Amos just turns around and says, you know what? Bad things are coming. You'll be one of the first to be exiled. And then he finishes in that chapter 8 and says, why? Well, hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, you will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale. We will make the epeth small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. We're going to build our ivory castles on the back of the poor and the needy. God rescued the poor and the needy out of Egypt. And don't pretend to worship a god if you're not taking care of the poor and needy. You might find yourself in exile. And when you're in exile, you become a servant of a foreigner. And what happened? What do you call yourselves if you are a servant against your own will?
Slave.
A slave. You once were slaves. I saved you. You obviously want to be slaves again. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.